Well, good morning, everybody. This is, once again, Pastor Tom coming to you all the way from my studio. That's what I'm going to call this place. I want to share with you a couple of things that's on my mind, and we'll get into the whole discussion today about what we are going to be talking about, my sermon and so forth. Just so you know, I just got done sneezing about four times, and I feel my throat is a little scratchy after doing that. I did sneeze into my elbow, as they call it. It's hard to get to for me, but the studio. Well, let me just share with you that I believe in the near future, not sure how it's going to work out, but there may be a lot of things done in the ministry out of this place here. So keep that in mind. You never know what's going to take place in the future. But I just have this kind of a deep settled peace that there's more involved with, I guess you might call it a long distance communication. Kind of another word of testimony. Anna is part of an improv group, and many of you know that. If you don't, they do live performances. However, during the COVID-19 virus, they've had to resort to using other means, and they gather together in a very unique way. They use a communication device called Zoom. It's how a group of people can meet in their homes. So Anna actually comes to this house and goes into my studio here, where she will put on her computer, excuse me, and she'll be a part of the group, and they will do a whole performance that they do on stage, and they play different roles, different parts. And so last night, Anna was not in the actual production, but she was here, and we watched it on our from her computer on our TV set. And they had, let's see, one, two, three, about four people that were there that were performing. Very interesting. So I guess I'm saying is that in a time like these, in the days that we live, people are getting together with a lot of ingenuity. Yesterday or a few days ago, our granddaughter, Lilia, she had her 7th birthday. Well, you can't have people come to the house. That's just the way things are nowadays. And so they had, yesterday, they had bought some cookies, I believe it was, and treats. And then the people part of Lilia's birthday party actually drove by in their cars. It was so neat. They'd come up the street honking, and there'd be signs out. They were wishing her happy birthday. And then she had her little dress on. She just turned 7 years old. And then she would go up to the car, and they'd give her a present of some kind, and they would put out these signs. So we saw about three or four cars go by, many pictures, and it was really neat. It just tells you that in these times that there are ways that you can do things that's just a little bit different, but it still meets the need. Actually, I thought about this. I said that would have been really nice when our kids were young, because we had put so much work and effort into having a birthday party that, you know, and then you worry about people coming over and whatever, you know, just different things. And that was kind of neat. I should have thought about that years ago, have a drive-by birthday party, just honk your horn, wave, and on you go. So anyway, let me go ahead and get into my message today. Then we have a very special treat for you. We have a special guest here. And I know I'm clearing my throat so much that sneezing wiped me out, but I still want to do the recording as soon as possible. So let me get into my sermon. I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'll introduce our guest for today. And it does relate to this topic, so I want you to hear it. Very important part here. I didn't get there. Oh, boy. I'll do it in the King James. I had it in the NIV. But anyway, let me read the scripture, and then we'll get into the message. Luke chapter 24, verse number 13. Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them, this is on the day of the resurrection, by the way, and these are disciples of Jesus, so we're going to catch into the story. Two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Da-da-da, the first difficulty here. How long is a furlong? Well, I read it in the NIV. It's about 7.5 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. That's a long walk, you all. That would take several hours. And several hours would be needed, as we're going to find out. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. In other words, they weren't open to that they were talking to Jesus. We'll read more about that later also. But here they are, walking with Jesus, not even knowing it. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So these are men, two men, that are very sad here. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Very cunning of the Lord to do that. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he would have been the one that would redeem Israel. Now, there you go. They were thinking still in the redemption of Israel in an outward way. Very interesting. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company. Now, we know they're very close disciples of the bunch because they know about these women that went to the tomb. Made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, that would be Peter and the bunch, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, this is Jesus, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? In beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Interesting. Jesus talked about that from Moses. And now if you ask me to go to Moses and the law and find scriptures about Jesus, the Messiah, I would be pretty hard pressed. I'm okay in the prophets. I can do it pretty well there, but Jesus could do it from Moses. So let's say he's talking about, you know, those books in the Bible that deal with the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and expounding to them about him being the Messiah. Just thought you'd like to hear that. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. So several hours are gone by now. And he made as though he would have gone further. So Jesus pretending he's going to go further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And then they said one to another, I'm going to paraphrase here, didn't our hearts burn within us that we in all this time walked with the Lord and didn't really know it, but they marveled how well he was able to teach the scriptures. So powerful. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you will bless the word of God today in a mighty, mighty way. I want to thank you for the Word of God and for what you're doing in the Word, that we just want to commune with you. Help us in these tough times, Lord, to stay focused on Jesus. And we ask it in His name, Jesus' name to the Father. Amen. Okay, so we have a guest with us today. The guest just happens to be my wife. She's right here.
Hello.
I hope you can hear her over there. I'll probably hand her the, well, I'll just keep it up near her face if however she wants to do it. And now she's coming forward here. Now And by the way, we are in my studio, so this is a very special place it's becoming. So here's my wife, Julie. Now, she has a testimony about what went on in her life a few days ago. And so I'm going to just ask her to share with us for a few minutes about something that was very powerful in her own life. So I'm going to give this over to Julie and let her share what happened.
Good morning. I was heading to work on Thursday. It was about 3:30 in the morning, and I'm driving to work. And most of you probably know at 3:30, nobody's super coherent. At least I'm not. And I had left. It's about a 45-minute drive to the clinic I was going to. And as I was driving, I did the armor of God, and I did my usual faith scriptures. And it was like, okay, yeah, la, 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 la. So then I'm driving and I go, Lord, I want a job where I don't have to get up so early in the morning. I would like better hours. Lord, I want this crisis to be done. Lord, I want to get some stuff for the house. Lord, I want the kids to be better. And it was just a series of complaints. And I found myself getting I was tired and kind of in a bad mood. And I heard this voice just as clear as anything saying, now let's try this from a different angle. I immediately stopped and said, uh-oh, I know who that is. And he always talks to me in kind of a gentle, humorous way. So my prayer changed to, Lord, thank you that I have a car that's great to drive. Lord, thank you that I have a job to go to where I get paid. Lord, thank you that I'm healthy and the family is healthy. Lord, thank you that we have enough to eat. And you know how that prayer is going on and on. And by the time I got to work, I was in a super good mood. I felt my spirits uplifted. I had a great day. I wasn't too tired at the end of the shift. And I just thank him for that. It was like, he doesn't want a bunch of gimme prayers, at least for me. And he just changed my whole outlook. And it was a wonderful day.
You know, the reason I wanted my wife to share that, I was really touched by that testimony, especially coming from the heart of a person, a woman actually, but say, now let's look at this another way. It's probably not a way that I would think, right? I might have to get kind of really, I don't know what kind of, in a mood or kind of really almost angry, and then maybe I'll stop and think, now wait a minute, I shouldn't be here. But I really like that word. And so I'm just going to kind of interview my wife here a little bit about this. Julie, can you just sit next to me, make it a little easier?
Sure.
Okay, so when this took place, when you were in that mode of like saying, I want a better job, better hours, or all of those negative things, were you thinking about the Lord in a very positive way?
No, I was complaining to him because this is my morning drive many times, not all the time, but because when I wake up, I'm like really tired and it takes me a while. And I was just in a grumpy, complaining kind of mood.
And the other day I shared some things about your day with everybody, kind of knowing what goes on. It is very intense. And Julie will be in a mode of work from the moment she gets there until she leaves. And the days that when she was working 12-hour shifts, that would go on 3 days a week like that.
More like 14.
Yeah, and those were 14-hour days. They were just over the top. And one or two times, she actually worked 4 days in a row. And by that fourth day, she was like, I just can't put the body through that kind of treatment. So, Julie, so at that time, then you began to say, the voice inside of you, how did that come to you? Were you just quiet in the car at that moment when they said, let's look at this a different way?
No, I was in the midst of complaining, as many of, you know, when, and I'm praying, and I stopped for a minute, and I heard almost an audible voice going, nah, let's look at this another way. And it was very gentle and kind and not condemning, and a touch of humor, because the Lord always speaks to me, almost always with a touch of humor, which I personally really, really like.
And Julie and I talk a lot about this way of communication with God. But here's the thing, this could not have been coming from the enemy. I don't believe that Julie could have made this up in her head. So this was a moment in her life where God and her had this beautiful communication.
Yeah, yeah.
Very tender. And the fact that the Lord said, let's look at this another way, really touches me, because it's not an angry voice. It's not like, shut up and listen, you know, kind of thing. It's just tender. And it's the way that Julie responds to God. She doesn't respond, I don't believe anyway, in a forceful kind of way. But let's look at this from another angle. I love that. So then at that moment, how long would you say along the freeway this was going on, this kind of communication?
The good part of the
Yeah, bad. The good part.
The good part. Well, I was about maybe halfway to work, and so I started thanking God for, I just knew to start thanking him for good things. He didn't really say that, but just let's look at it from another way. And I started thanking him. And probably the more I thanked him, the more things I found to thank him for. I didn't think it was going to be a very long prayer, but it took about 20 minutes, and that was about the time I got to work.
Now, there's an outcome to this that Julie and I didn't even talk about earlier, but it comes to me now that something did happen at work through all of this. That position, now my wife is working per diem or part-time as they need her. So this is not an everyday job now, but which is a good thing for her especially. But something took place, Julie, with a possible other hours, let's say.
Well, the clinic I was going to from like 3:30 in the morning till about 12:30 has now closed because they're changing the schedule to 3 very long days, and I didn't want that. So my boss called and said, are you interested in working another job from 8 until 1:30 in the afternoon? And I said, yeah, one day a week. So that was the same day, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll take it. So I'm going to start that this coming week, but that was an answer to prayer. It was because most people don't want short shifts. They want long shifts. If you're going to work, you just might as well work. But I'm at the point where I want short ones. And so this was perfect for me. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Amen. Now, I think that is actually wonderful that you were asking the Lord more in a way of complaining about better hours. And then it ends up looking like this is going to be, like they said, a part-time thing, not for long. But I just have a hunch it could continue on. But what I believe is really good news is she doesn't have to wake up at 3:30 or 3 in the morning, leave here around 3:30, yeah, and then get there. And again, there's no rest on her job. They do take a break once in a while, but boy, it's complicated because they get a call. You're the only nurse on duty, right?
Right, so I can't leave the building.
Yeah, she can't leave. And if there's an emergency, now these are people that are very sick on dialysis, and so they need extra care. Julie, I just want to talk about a couple other things while we have you here, which I think this is just wonderful. You got into nursing. Now, in our married lives, all the years before this, she was into banking. She was a bank teller. These are the old days of bank, of being a teller in a bank. The computers were not yet out yet. And I do remember, Julie, the first computer I saw you brought me into a room that was air conditioned.
And it had padding on the walls.
Yeah, this thick padding on the walls. And this computer was huge.
Yes.
And we were like amazed that, oh, this thing can do this and do this. It was like, oh, okay. Had no idea what was coming down the road. But Julie, kind of explained to the group here, what was it that brought you into nursing? What kind of like some things from your childhood and so forth?
Well, I've always loved medicine, and I thought about being a doctor, but I said, I don't know if I can do the math. Well, anyway, nursing was the other option. I had this wonderful pediatrician when I was growing up. He would let me walk over to his clinic. He's one of those old-fashioned kind of doctors. And I would walk in there, and he'd let me sit with the nurse who would do blood counts. And the old-fashioned way to do blood counts is they would take a drop of blood and smear it on a slide, look under a microscope, and they had a clicker. So every time they saw a white blood cell they were counting, they would go click, 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 which I think is almost impossible to do. But they let me look in the microscope. They let me play with some of the equipment. And really, that was my love, my first love.
Yeah. So it's my remembrance. I'm going to go just, you know, some thoughts here, because you were at the place in banking that wasn't meeting the need for you. It was just a job. It was meeting our needs to a point. But this brings us up into the year, and share with us now about how you got into nursing.
Well, I was really, I really, really did not like banking, but I said, I need to get some education in computers, and they would pay for the program. So I signed up for a basic computer class, and when I was at the community college, I saw a sign there. This is back in 1986, 87.
88 or 89.
I graduated 88, 89. I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I'm in this banking class, and they said, RN, $12 an hour. And in those days, that was a lot of money. And I said, $12 an hour? I said, I really want to try for the nursing program. So I talked to Tom, and he said, sure, sign up for the program, thinking it would be many months later. But within 2 weeks, I had been accepted in the nursing program. That's that.
Yeah. So that about 1988, 89, that's the year about?
That I went to school. I graduated 1990.
Oh, yes. That's what I had in my mind, 1990. Okay, yeah, that's true. And by the way, while Julie was in school, now, I honestly, when I said yes on the phone, I was thinking, oh, yeah, but 2-3 months down the road after we're pretty well settled here and I maybe got a good part-time job, because I was in school now full-time. We had two girls, as you know, Anne and Eva, and so our lives were packed. And then when she came home and said that she's going to start school like right away, I just said, oh, great. Yeah, so Julie started school, and you graduated in 1990.
Right.
And then entered into nursing.
Right. That was a two-year program, associate degree, and I started nursing a floor nurse on the night shift.
Yes, I remember those nights. I used to pray a lot for her coming home. I think the town was called Athens, Tennessee. And I would pray a lot for her coming home because, you know, when you're all night working, it's just not a shift you're used to. And so I remember that. She was in a Chattanooga hospital when there was flooding going on. Maybe share a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, there was a bad year of flooding. So we had to take a canoe literally from the parking lot. It was like this, a hospital was like a little island, and so we had to get a paddle canoe. Somebody paddled us over to the hospital to go to work. I've never done that since.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Well, anyway, I wanted you to hear this about Julie. These years have, you know, gone by now, 1990 until now, and she'd been working full-time up until about a year and a half ago. And so, you know, another stage in her life. But I want to say this in closing, then I'll move on to my sermon. But Julie has been a real rock in this home here. I look to her a lot for wisdom and like, what is God saying to you? And when she shares the thoughts about the Lord like she did, it's so comforting to me to know that God is speaking to both of us. And it always lines up with the Word. So it is a comfort, and we've always worked as a team. I sense that in the future, we may be doing more of this kind of stuff, this kind of back and forth. But anyhow, thank you, Julie, for doing that today. And you're sharing your story. There's a lot more to it than that, but
many stories, many, many stories, but you would be bored.
If you want her to, she can embellish all of them and make them into these real miracles of God. People being raised from the dead, healings, only kidding. There she goes,
thank
folks.
You.
She's leaving my studio. All righty. I wanted that first testimony from Julie because there's times when we just don't take time out to see the Lord, especially in the midst of a crisis. Like, we are at a place now where everything is upside down. And maybe in some cases, right side up, but I don't know where you are. I wonder this a lot about the group. I pray for those that I picture in my head. I go down a list here and there, and I begin with the names, especially in the day that I send out the church announcements. I go down that list, and I see the names that are along there, and I see, I don't know most of them, honestly. I don't know you, and I wish I did. Maybe there's a day when you can introduce yourself to me and write me an email and let me know. But anyway, in that, we have these times that we live in. That's what I'm driving at. And your life might be in turmoil. I'm not saying for sure, but it's possible. You might have something going on in your own life that is just really hard. And you're not able to get easily to a doctor. You're not able easily to check things in your own body that needs to be looked at. Whatever it is, whatever your fears are, and I read a lot about this, it's just how I sense it, that in the midst of the storm, the Lord is there. We know that from the scripture. And this story today really speaks to the heart of two men on the day of resurrection that already got the news, by the way, of the resurrected Lord, but it didn't sink in. But what did sink in for them? At the moment, they didn't know. They just about how this man would speak about the scriptures, about the Messiah found in the law of Moses and the prophets. They had no idea, but they were amazed at that teaching and how much enlightenment they received. But then when their eyes were opened, they began to see something so wonderful. And it took Jesus breaking bread. Now think about this. He broke the bread, began to bless it. Then their eyes were opened. And then they realized who they were talking to. And then Jesus just vanished out of their sight. And the whole story is so amazing. So here's a few thoughts on this. I'll go quickly. The power of revelation. The power of revelation in a storm, the power to know that Jesus is there in a very tender way. Let's look at this a different way, what he said to Julie. Let's check this out from another angle. Maybe it's not as bleak as you think it is. And I know we have a list at that point. If that seems to be something the Lord would say to you, you might have a feeling of, yeah, but going on. There's always room for the yeah, but if, or what if, or those questions, right? And so the power of revelation. The next thought is the power of thanksgiving. When Julie began to go on to that area of thinking on things that were more, let's say, positive, the car that runs, a job that provides an income, a place to go to work, they're as safe as you can be over there at the nursing where she works in dialysis. Same with Anna. She's in a place where they want to make sure that she's properly cared for. Every place is different. But look at our community, what we're trying to do, how we are trying to work together and get to the place where this virus can be put aside and we can go back to as much a normal life as possible. So the power of reflection, or the power of praising and thanking God. Then finally, the power of reflection. Now, Philippians 4:8, I'm going to kind of reverse how to begin this, but you know the scripture very well. You've heard it many times. But basically, Paul comes to the point of saying to think on these things. Think on these things. So we're supposed to think on something differently. It'll put you in a better mood. It'll put you in a place where it isn't so maybe, what is it, negative out there, even fearful for some. I've spent some time on those thoughts. But maybe it's a place where you're going to begin to think on other things. So let's go down the list, and this is where I'll close. Think on these things. Things that are true. So there are things that are true. Now you might say, yeah, it is a fact that I've got this. You know, I had a sermon once, I'll just share this quickly, that I talk about the difference between facts and truth. And I may share that sometime, because a lot of people will say, I had a friend that had cancer. That was a fact, and he died of cancer. So your whole thing about healing isn't true. But then I'll say, wait a minute, that's a fact he has cancer. But the truth is, God is able to heal that person. When my grandma died, she was in her 80s, I think around 86 years old, and in a very sickly body at that time. And instantly, the moment that she died, I realized that she now was without pain in a body. She doesn't have a body to contend with. Her body is going to be put in the earth, and she's in the presence of God. So all the things Jesus talked about were true, but a little different angle. I understand. But if somebody says, this is a fact, I've got cancer. But the truth is, God is able to heal that cancer. So there is a difference. That's all I want to say. Then he wants us to think on things that are noble, things that are really worthy of praise. a noble cause. A town in Tucson, Marana, Oro Valley that is putting effort toward making sure we don't get this virus. We'll talk about all the difficulties with that in years to come. But here we are, and we're at this moment. Something noble. Thanking the nurses, thanking the doctors, thanking the firefighters, the police, the military people. Big thanks out to Nathan and Chelsea. And I'm sure they have gone through, I don't know for sure, but can't even imagine what it's been like for them in the military, what they have to be doing. So think on noble things, things that are a good cause, things that bring help to people, a community working together to help others. It's done a lot in that direction. Okay, things that are noble. Then he wants us to think on things that are right. Well, we know what this means. Things that are pure. We don't need a definition there. Lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Those are the things that Paul mentions. You see, my wife is on her way to work, and on her way there, like me and others, you get into a mode of thinking about life, just stuff around you. But then the Lord wants us kind of look at it another way. So I love that scripture. Well, I mean, what my wife said. Let's look at this another way. And she did. And it was a blessing. And that's what I want you to do today. Take a look at this another way. Look at it from the angle that the Lord sees. It'll take another set of glasses. But he wants you to see things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Amen. Lord, very short prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you for keeping us. If anybody needs healing, Lord, I pray for healing. If they can't get to a doctor for a checkup, I pray they'll get to a doctor or over the phone, how we're doing it now, or whatever, different ways. The blessings of the Lord are real. They're true. And you stand out above everything, Lord, head and shoulders, I would say, above the fray. You are the Lord of all. We thank you for this moment we live in and how we can be an overcomer. And let our light shine in the darkness, Lord. Help us to let our light shine in the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. So there you have my sermon today. It's about all I have to say about it. Blessings on you all, in Jesus' name.